Ajakacharya Sotara Satishi Shimad A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sikho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinatha Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai Samaveda Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. We're beginning chapter 41. So we'll start with the summary of the chapter and then continue on to sloka 1. Krishna and Balaram enter Mathura. This chapter describes how Lord Krishna entered the city of Mathura, killed a washerman, and bestowed benedictions upon a weaver and a garland maker named Sudama. After showing his Vishnu form to Akrura in the waters of the Jamuna and receiving Akrura's prayers, Lord Krishna withdrew that vision just as an actor winds up his performance. Akrura emerged from the water and in great amazement approached the Lord, who asked him whether he had seen something wonderful while bathing. Akrura replied, "Whatever wonderful things there are in the realms of water, earth, or sky, all have their existence within you. Thus, when one has seen you, nothing remains unseen." Akrura then began driving the chariot again. Krishna, Balaram, and Akrura reached Mathura late in the afternoon. After meeting up with Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherds who had gone on ahead, Krishna asked Akrura to return home, promising to visit him there after he had killed Kamsa. Akrura unhappily bid the Lord goodbye, went to King Kamsa to inform him that Krishna and Balaram had come, and went home. Krishna and Balaram took the cowherd boys with them to see the splendorous city. As they all entered Mathura, the women of the city eagerly came out of their houses to see Krishna. They had often heard about him and had long since developed a deep attraction for him. But now that they were actually seeing him, they were overwhelmed with happiness, and all their distress due to his absence was eradicated. Krishna and Balaram then came upon Kamsa's wicked washerman. Krishna asked him for some of the first-class garments he was carrying, but he refused and even chastised the two lords. At this, Krishna became very angry and beheaded the man with his fingertips. The washerman's assistants, seeing his untimely end, dropped their bundles of clothes on the spot and ran off in all directions. Krishna and Balaram then took some of the garments they especially fancied. Next, a weaver approached the two lords and arrayed them suitably, for which service he received from Krishna opulence in this life and liberation in the next. Krishna and Balaram then went to the house of a garland maker, Sudama. Sudama offered them his full obeisances, worshipped them by bathing their feet and offering them such items as argya and sandalwood paste, and chanted prayers in their honor. Then he adorned them with garlands of fragrant flowers. Pleased, the lords offered him whatever benedictions he wished, and then they moved on. So now we'll chant together Text 1. Shri Suka Uvacha Stuvatastasya Bhagavan Darshayitva Jalevapu Bhuyasama Harat Krishna Nato Natyam Ivatmanaha Shri Suka Uvacha Stuvatastasya Bhagavan Darshayitva Jalevapu Bhuyasama Harat Krishna Nato Natyam Ivatmanaha Shri Suka Uvacha Stuvatastasya Bhagavan Darshayitva Jalevapu Bhuyasama Harat Krishna Nato Natyam Ivatmanaha Shri Suka Uvacha Sukadev Goswami said, Stuvataha, while praying, Tasya, he, Akura, Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, Darshayitva, having shown, Jale, in the water, Vapu, his personal form, Bhuyaha, again, Samaharat, withdrew, Krishnaha, Shri Krishna, Nataha, an actor, Natyam, the performance, Eva, as, Atmanaha, his own. Translation. Sukadev Goswami said, while Akura was still offering prayers, the Supreme Lord withdrew his form that he had revealed in the water, just as an actor winds up his performance. We can repeat together. Sukadev Goswami said, while Akura was still offering prayers, the Supreme Lord Krishna withdrew his form that he had revealed in the water, just as an actor winds up his performance. Purport. Lord Krishna withdrew from Akura's sight, the Vishnu form, along with the vision of the spiritual sky and its eternal inhabitants. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutle Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschati Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Arigor Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So we've been reading how Krishna left Vrindavan and the heartbreaking exit when all of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the women, the men, the young girls, the cowherds, the cows, the animals, even the wild animals, no one wanted Krishna to leave. Why? Because of the fear that he wouldn't come back. Now, when Krishna saw that the inhabitants were not willing to allow him to go, especially Mother Yasoda, she went all the way to the edge of Braja to stop Krishna from leaving. So Krishna made a plan. He told Mother Yasoda that, "You go home, I want you to cook for me, and then I'll be back as soon as my work is finished. Shouldn't take more than one day. I'll be back tomorrow." So Mother Yasoda, thinking that now she had something to do for Krishna while he was gone, then she returned to the house with her attendants, and she began to cook. Meanwhile, Akrura saw that this was the time he had to quickly take Krishna away before the other inhabitants stopped Krishna from leaving. So he took a winding, curved path, different from the path that all of the carts were able to take. They went south, and Akura went on this other path. And eventually, by noontime, they started in the morning, by noontime, it was time to chant Gayatri and do puja, the Vedic hymns. So he stopped on the bank of the river, Jamuna, at a place called Brahmahrada. Now, we've previously heard about Brahmahrada because when Nanda Maharaj, in Kartik, when Krishna stopped Nanda Maharaj from performing the Indra Puja and they performed the Govardhan Puja, then for 7 days, Indra tried to kill all of the inhabitants of Vrindavan by inundating with flood, hail, lightning, anything he could. And he was unsuccessful. So that took up to the 9th day. Then on the 10th day, Indra came and apologized, begged his forgiveness. And then the 11th day, Nanda Maharaj, he observed very strictly the Ekadasi. And as we know, the Parayan, it comes at different times. And before the Parayan, of course, we want to rise, take our bath, and then we can break the fast. So Nanda Maharaj, he came to the Jamuna after he had fasted all day, and he came too early because there are different times for bathing. For instance, we don't bathe midday in the Jamuna. Nobody goes there at midday. Early in the morning, in the evening. So it was a demoniac time, and Varuna's servants captured him and took him to Varuna. And Nanda Maharaj's associates, they immediately began to call for Krishna and Balaram. Krishna and Balaram entered the water, went to Varuna's abode, and there Nanda Maharaj saw Varuna offering beautiful prayers just as Akura had offered, recognizing him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when Varuna released Nanda and the three of them came back to the riverbank, Nanda Maharaj started to tell his brothers and his other friends what he saw in Varuna Loka, how Varuna was worshipping Krishna and Balaram. So the cowherd men, they thought, well, if this is true, which we don't believe anyway because we know Krishna very well, maybe Krishna will give us salvation at the end of this life. So Krishna, understanding what they were thinking, he brought them to the same Brahma Radha, and he had them immerse in the water, just as Akura did, and then he showed them the whole vision of the Vaikuntha Lokas, and he showed them a very special place, their Svagatim, the place where they were going to go, and that was Goloka, Gokula. Now, this secret place, Gokula, it wasn't revealed to Akura. Akura saw the Vaikuntha planets with the Vedas worshipping and all of the associates of Mahavishnu offering prayers to him. This Svagatim of the cowherd men, Gokul, it's a secret place. It's the most protected place in the entire spiritual and material creations. It's so protected. You can read in the Brahma Sangita their tridents, their mantras, in all directions, their protectors. And what goes on there is the Aprakrut Leela. And what we see in the Boma Leela is a portion of those eternal Leelas. Now, Krishna was very careful to let the cowherd men understand that you don't have to worry. This is where you're going. You deserve to go to my most secret place because you're my own people. You're my relatives. Here's my father, my mother, my friends, my lovers. You're going there. Now, the vision that Akura had when he was standing in the water and chanting his Gayatri mantra, he saw the Vaikuntha majesty of the Lord because the inhabitants of Mathura and the inhabitants of Vrindavan have completely different concept of Krishna. The inhabitants of Vrindavan do not have a trace, the slightest tinge, that Krishna is God. You can tell them left, right, center, they won't believe you, they'll defeat you. And that happened when Uddhava came. We'll discuss all of those, how he defeated Uddhava. You think my son is Bhagavan? Now, the inhabitants of Mathura, they love Krishna because they know that he's Bhagavan. It's a completely different concept. Even when Krishna entered, we'll read at this in this chapter, and all the girls, the women who were finally getting to see Krishna, they put their clothes on upside down. They forgot to put their eyeliner on one side. Everything just like the gopis. But the reason they wanted to see Krishna was because he was Bhagavan. And his own mother and father, Devaki and Vasudev, when Krishna, after he killed Kamsa, and he went to see them to release them from the prison, they couldn't accept that. They put their heads down. They couldn't embrace Krishna and Balaram. They didn't know how to behave in front of them because of their jnana mishra bhakti. They knew that Krishna and Balaram were the supreme personalities of Godhead. So Krishna had to put his atma maya, and then they were able to embrace them both. So this is the difference. And the previous chapter that we just read, the prayers of Akura, all of those prayers, and he's famous for these prayers, they're all about the knowledge of Krishna being the Supreme Lord. All of the different analogies that he gives, all of the different greatness and majesties that the Supreme Lord possesses, they're all about the Vishnu form. Because the Vishnu form is worshipped in Mathura and Dwarka. In Vrindavan, Krishna is most perfect. There is his Swayam Rup. Swayam Rup means his original form. two-armed form, his pastime form. How do we enter Vrindavan? How did we all enter Vrindavan? Are we in Vrindavan? Or are we just on the surface of Vrindavan? The way to enter Vrindavan is to have unalloyed pure love for Krishna. That means 24 hours a day, manmana bhava madbhakto. This is bhava madbhakto, become my devotee, and always think of me. When Krishna spoke these theoretical mantras to Arjuna, that this is what you should do, all of this, yayatamam prabhadyante sarvadharmam paritajya, these three principal slokas that hopefully most of us know, all of this was directly manifested in this 10th canto in Vrindavan. Manmana. The inhabitants of Vrindavan, although Krishna was leaving, this is called Mathura Viraha, when he was going to Mathura, in that separation, they kept Krishna tightly in their hearts. And that way, they were able to associate with Krishna 24 hours a day by always thinking of him. Wherever they went, Nanda Maharaj told Uddhava that we have no life anymore. Without Krishna, we have no reason to live. I go out of my house has become like a prison to me, because everywhere I look, I remember Krishna. So I go out of the house to try to forget Krishna, and everywhere I go, I remember, oh, Krishna did this here, Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill, Krishna swam in the Jamuna. I can't stop thinking of Krishna for a moment. This is the perfection of bhakti. And Nanda Maharaj is crying. He's crying because he's in so much pain of separation from Krishna. All the inhabitants practically were dead. Now, when Krishna finally will read these pastimes in Mathura, it's only one or two days that finally Krishna, he broke the bow the first day. The second day, he killed Kamsa and all of his brothers. And then he said, okay, my work is finished. Haribo, I'm going back home. So he went to tell the Yadus, in the Yadus, the all the different dynasties who finally were freed from Kamsa. He went to tell them in the assembly hall. Vasudeva and Devaki weren't in the assembly hall. He said, thank you very much. I've done my duty. I've helped you all. Now Kamsa's dead. I've installed Ugrasen as the king. He's from the Bhoja dynasty. No one from the Yadu dynasty can become king because of the curse of Yayati. So Ugrasen, he will remain the king because his son usurped the throne from him. And now I'm going back with Nanda Maharaj and my cowherd friends. So everyone was silent. You're going back? You've just killed Kamsa. Now Kamsa, being the most powerful demon, he was protecting us from all the other demons. Now that you've killed Kamsa, and all those demons were Kamsa's brother-in-law, father-in-law, his closest friends, they will come and they will attack Mathura, and we'll have no way to protect ourselves. You can't leave us. You are our protector. And because you killed Kamsa, then wherever you go, they'll search for you and they'll try to kill you. If you go back to Braj now, you will be endangering all of the inhabitants there. It was very strong logic. What could Krishna do? He didn't want to endanger his beloved Brajabasis. He didn't care that much about Vrindavan. He was just doing that as a duty. But if he goes back to Braja, what will happen? So then he went to Vasudeva and Devaki. And Vasudeva said, you've just come. We've suffered all these years in your absence, 12 years. And you're going to leave us now? Please, you just stay a little longer. You be with us. It's my duty as your father. I have to give you education. I have to get your Gayatri Mantra from Garga Muni. You have to observe these purificatory activities because you were born in a Kshatriya family. So Krishna, he was locked. Then he went to Nanda Maharaj and to all the cowherd men who came with him. He said, they were crying. Krishna Bhai said, we want to go home with you. We have no other work here. We did what we were asked to do. We want to go. And then he heard there were messages coming. He said, now 3 days, Mother Yasoda hasn't eaten. Nobody has eaten because you're not there. They're just burning in the fire of separation from you. You have to come back. Krishna said, how can I come back? If I come back, then all the demons will come and attack you. So then Nanda Maharaj said, all right, then we will all come to Mathura. Krishna said, but if you come to Mathura, you have millions of cows, and they're always populating more and more and more. And in Mathura, I have to build a fort. Even now, we have the dig, Bharatpur, all the different gates to the fort are still in Mathura. So Krishna had to build this fort to protect Mathura. He said, how will I fit all the cows into a fort? It's not possible. No, the best thing to do is you all go back, and as soon as my work is finished killing all these demons, I promise you I will come back, and I won't leave again. So Nanda Maharaj, he was forced. He said, Krishna told him, he said, you give Mother Yasoda this message. Now, Krishna being the Supreme Lord, he knew everything that Mother Yasoda had done during these 3 days. So he hand wrote it. He said, the first day you fed me rice with milk. The second day you fed me roti with ghee. The third day you fed me sweets soaked in milk. But I will not eat unless you eat. Every day you cook for me, you take that offering, bring it to the large room, you serve me, and then I will eat, and then you will eat. So each section, the cowherd boys, the gopis, he sent messages back how they should survive while Krishna is performing his duty in Mathura. He told the cowherd boys that you'll see my spurti, because wherever my pastimes were, you'll see me there. And as for the cows, they get knowledge, most animals are like this, from smelling and from hearing. They can also discern some form. So I want you to take my clothes that are filled with my fragrance, and I want Stoka Krishna to dress up as me, and I want Subal to dress up as Balaram. And you go and sit with the cows, and they will feel that Krishna and Balaram, that we're still here with them. Then the gopis, of course, the gopis, he said, your love is so superior, and I cannot reciprocate that love, so therefore I'm hiding from you. So therefore you just constantly remember me. When my work is done, I will come back and never leave you again. So each separate section of the Brijbasis received private messages from Krishna that were brought back with Nanda Maharaj. According to Srila Prabhupada in the Krishna book, Prabhupada said that Krishna actually did not break his promise. He went back with Nanda Maharaj. He went back in his bhava form, his bhava roop. Bhava means ecstasy. And he went on, because here we're reading how Krishna, he just like an actor in this sloka, when you're in a play, in a drama, the actor has to put on so many different disguises. And even while in that disguise, if a person's son will come up, the son will not recognize the father because the disguise is so good if they're a good actor. But as soon as the play is over, immediately he'll take off his costume and he becomes his real person again. So this display that Krishna was giving to Akura was just like a performance. It wasn't his real self. And we remember when Brahma, Lord Brahma, he also offered prayers. Those prayers were in a different mood because Brahma was in Vrindavan. He was allowed to enter Vrindavan. Akura is offering these prayers outside of Vrindavan, just at the line of demarcation. And Brahma's prayers were glorifying Krishna's activities within Braj. None of that is present in Akura's prayers. They're all Vishnu glories. Brahmaji, his prayers were, I see that these inhabitants of Vrindavan are the most fortunate of all of your devotees. I can't even aspire to be on such a level as they. I don't have that kind of love. But I know that getting the dust of their lotus feet, one day I might be able to acquire that love. So you allow me to just become a clump of grass or anything so that I can get the dust from the lotus feet of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. This was Lord Brahma's prayers. Now, Akura, because he was in the mood of Aishwarya mixed with Gyan, he didn't pray to become a blade of grass in Vrindavan. He wanted to take Krishna and Balaram to Mathura and worship them as the Supreme Personalities of Godhead in their four-handed form. So that's what Krishna revealed to him. But Krishna wasn't very interested. So the Sanskrit here, they're different. Of course, I don't know Sanskrit, but what's explained is the word tasya is used. Stuvata tasya. So it's an informal way of speaking about a person. It's not formal. So what Krishna did was, while Akura was still offering his prayers, because he wasn't very interested in the prayers, just as when Krishna was holding his, in the left hand, he was holding his rice and dahi and his achar, waiting for Brahma to finish so he can go back and play with his friends. So all of a sudden, Krishna just disappeared the whole thing by his atmana. He just wound up the whole thing. Okay, it's over, let's go. And then when Akura saw that everything had just disappeared, he realized here he is, spending all this time, he was offering prayers. It took us 2 weeks to get through that whole chapter. It must have taken at least an hour or two for him to offer the prayers. If we read the Sanskrit, someone can do that who knows Sanskrit well. They can read and see how long it takes. So it was really holding up the day. The cowherd men had come from another way. They were waiting in the garden. Where are Krishna and Balaram? Where's Akura? And so Akura, he had to finish his what's called the Veda Maryada Dharma. He had to finish his offerings. He didn't have any flowers. He didn't have any incense. So he just offered water and meditated that here's the flowers, here's the incense, got out of the water. And he was still in amazement. His eyes were wide open. And Krishna and Balaram, of course, they knew everything. Krishna said to him, seeing his eyes wide open like that, he said, did you see something astonishing in the world? And Akura, of course, in his mood of Aishwarya and Gyan, he said, when I see you, my Lord, what else is there to see on the land and the water and the sky but you? So, a completely different mood. And Krishna was just waiting till he could get back home. Then he came, and we'll read here, as we read in the slight introduction, the summary. He met up with Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd boys and the men. And then that same afternoon, he decided to enter Mathura. Now, they're cowherd boys. They live in the jungle, and they have, what are their decorations? Flowers, pigments from Govardhan, peacock feathers. So they're very simply dressed. So as they enter and they see the golden gates and all of the diamonds and all of the opulence of Mathura and all of the people on the rooftops showering flowers upon them because they understood our Bhagavan has arrived at last. Well, they were just simple cowherd boys. And as they're walking through to see the village, to see the town, the big town, the city, the first thing they see is one of Kamsa's servants, the washerman. Now, there's a washerman also in Ramlila. There's a lot of similarities between the two. So Krishna saw the beautiful clothes that he was carrying with his assistants. He said, "Oh, whose clothes are these? Can you give us some of them? Simple boy, a little boy." And the washerman, he said, "Who are you? You don't understand. This belongs to Kamsa. You think I'm going to give these to you? A jungle boy? What are you going to do with them? You don't even know how to wear them." So what did Krishna do? Because all of his senses can do what the work of anyone else does. He just took his fingertips and finished. And all of the attendants, they just ran in all directions. You can see in the old paintings, they got their arms up, they're running everywhere. And Krishna and Balaram, they pick out whatever they like, and then they give the rest to their cowherd friends, and they're all dressed up very nicely now. And then walking on more as a weaver, they have a class of weavers in Mathura, and he immediately sewed up some beautiful things for Krishna to wear to make him look even finer. And then Krishna knew about Sudama. Sudama, also there are different names that are the same, like there's Arjun in Hastinapur Leela, there's Arjun in Vrindavan Leela, so there's Sudama also in Mathura Leela. And this endears these devotees even more to Krishna because it helps Krishna remember his Vrindavan friends. So he voluntarily went to Sudama's house. And Sudama, being a pure devotee, always meditating on Krishna, he offered beautiful prayers and then made beautiful garlands with his assistants. And then Krishna told him, "Well, I'll give you any benediction you want." And he said, "You just allow me to do welfare for others so they can all learn about you." Now, this is the prayer of a pure devotee. They don't want sarupya, they don't want anything. They want that love for Krishna, and they want to be able to share it with all the other suffering living entities. So Krishna said, "Yes, not only will I give you that, but I'll also give you all opulences." So then walking on more and more, we'll read about all these pastimes. But let us try to understand the demarcation place, the difference between the concept of Krishna in the Mathuravasis' minds and the concept of Krishna as Svayam Rup Sri Krishna. When Krishna, after he had completed all of the things he had to do, and he was missing Vrindavan so much, he decided to send a personal messenger, that's Uddhava. Now Uddhava, he had come all the way from Dwarka when he heard that Krishna was coming to Mathura. Uddhava, his guru was Brihaspati. He had learned all the Vedas, all the Gyan. He was perfect in Gyan Shastra. He knew nothing about Shuddh Bhakti Prem. And Krishna, because they were cousin brothers, Vasudeva had a brother named Devabhaga, and Uddhava was Devabhaga's son. Almost the same age, they looked practically exactly the same, they dressed the same. Even the gopis were astonished, is that Krishna, when he came to Vrindavan. So Krishna wanted Uddhava to understand, what is pure bhakti? Therefore, he devised a plan. Now, I will send Uddhava to Braj to console all of the residents of Vrindavan. At the same time, he will see what pure bhakti actually is, and this will destroy his Jnana Mishra Bhakti. So, Uddhava, when he did come here, he only knew the love of the mother and father, Vasudeva and Devaki, which is also mixed with this Jnana Bhakti, Jnana Mishra Bhakti. He thought, how am I going to console Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda? Just imagine if one's son has just died. How do you console the mother and father? Do you preach to them that why are you lamenting for a temporary body? This is only a temporary relationship. You should make Krishna your son. So Uddhava, he couldn't understand what he was supposed to do. He would deliver the message, but when he saw the condition of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, he didn't know how to preach to them, to console them, because they had already made Krishna their son, and now Krishna had left them. So he decided that if I give them Gyan, because Gyan is like sunlight, and there they were crying, morose, they couldn't get out of their separation from Krishna. So Uddhava thought, if I give them Gyan about who Krishna actually is, this sunlight of understanding that my son is Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, that'll give them some solace. So he began to praise them, that you're the most fortunate. You have the Supreme Lord, who's the mother and the father of all living entities, as your son. And then he went on to describe to Nanda Maharaj all of the opulences of the Supreme Lord, and how fortunate they were that they were able to serve Bhagavan Sri Krishna while he was residing in Vrindavan. And Nanda Maharaj, he said, what are you talking about? I know who Bhagavan is. I worship Bhagavan. I worship Narayan. I have Shalagram Maharaj in my home. We worship Narayan. We know all about the qualities of Narayan. You think that my son is Narayan? That means you don't know anything. You're just a child. You say that Bhagavan Narayan, he's up the kama, he has no desires. You don't know anything about Krishna. He's a milk-fed baby. He's been drinking milk since, he's still drinking milk. Do you know that in one danda, in 24 minutes, he eats 10 times in one danda? And you say he's fully satisfied? You say that the Supreme Lord is completely truthful? Do you know that Krishna is the greatest liar? He cheats. He steals. If he wants something, he'll throw a tantrum. Where is the... What are you talking about? And you say that we are the most fortunate? Where is our fortune? Krishna has just left us. If you tell me that I'm the most unfortunate, then I'll agree with you. But you really, Uddhava, you don't know what you're talking about. You go home. You try to understand who this Krishna actually is. Now, who is Krishna? Krishna, in that Svayam Rup, in that Bhava form, he is always in Vrindavan performing his pastimes. And the residents of Vrindavan, who were suffering so much separation from Krishna, they had Krishna captured in their hearts. If someone's right in front of you and you're speaking to the person, then in your heart, you're afraid. Oh no, when am I going to be separated from this person, if you love the person? But if someone is so far away from you, this Mathura Viraha, then you're keeping that person very tightly in your heart. It's the only way you can associate with them, through the heart. So this Bhava form of the Supreme Lord, Krishna, and none of them considered Krishna to be God. They simply loved him because he was so beautiful, because of the pastimes that they had since childhood with him. They loved him unconditionally. They didn't care who he was. They just loved him. So this is the mood of the Brijbasis. And this is what Krishna wanted Uddhava to understand. Why? Why Uddhava? Because when Krishna winds up his pastimes in Dwarka, and he gets shot in the heel, and then he decides it's time to go back to the spiritual world, all of the residents of Dwarka were taken away. They all killed each other, some way or other. All except for Uddhava. Because Krishna wanted Uddhava to stay on the planet Earth to preach. And that's what he did. He was preaching. Now, this is very important for us. Because for a pure devotee who understands pure love for Krishna, it doesn't matter if they're in the spiritual world with Krishna or if they're in separation from Krishna here, carrying out the mission of the Lord by preaching. This is how the devotee resides always in his mission to uplift the fallen souls. This is the mood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was in Radhabhav. He was teaching us the topmost platform of Jugayitam, Nimishena, Chakshusha, Pravishayitam, Sunyayitam, Jagatsarvam, Govinda, Virahename. One yuga, one blink of an eye is like a yuga for us. And I can't stop crying. I'm blind now. Mother Yasoda went blind from crying. And the whole world is vacant without you. Govinda Virahename, the same, Viraha. In the absence of Krishna, the devotee keeps Krishna tightly within their heart. Mahaprabhu taught this. And then Mahaprabhu, in his Leela, today is the return yatra of Jagannath. He's just spent 1 week in Vrindavan enjoying with his associates out of the glance of Lakshmi Devi and her attendants. Now, on the fifth day, Lakshmi Devi came, made a big ruckus on Hema Panchami, beating up all of the inhabitants of the residents there in Gundicha Mandir, dragging them on the ground. So Krishna is now the eighth day. He's decided, I have to go back. Now, Jagannath, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna when he's feeling separation from Krishna, because Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. In the mood of Radharani, she's feeling separation from Krishna. Lord Jagannath is Krishna when he's feeling separation from Radharani. So we should never think that only the residents of Vrindavan were experiencing this intense separation. No, Krishna and Balaram, they were hugging each other and crying in solitary places. They just wanted to go home and be with their friends and their real mother and father, Yashoda and Nanda. So Jagannath is in that mood of when Krishna misses Radharani. He's feeling intense separation for the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So both Krishna, he's experiencing in two different manifestations, separation from Krishna and separation from Radharani and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. This is the mood of the pure devotees, this vipralamba. And this is what Lord Chaitanya came to teach, and this is what his associates are teaching us. The inhabitants of Vrindavan never try to enjoy sambhog with Krishna. They are always immersed in the feelings of separation, and that way they keep Krishna tightly in their heart. This is the instruction of Bhagavad Gita. Now, even Arjuna, after he heard the Bhagavad Gita from Krishna, and who else did Krishna speak the Gita to but to Uddhava, his friend? Arjuna was a little proud that I got to hear Bhagavad Gita personally from Krishna. And also not understanding the mood of the Brijbasis, he understood that Krishna was the Supreme Lord when he saw the universal form. He asked to see that form. He asked to see the four-armed form. He knew that his friend Krishna was also, he happened to be God. So Krishna wanted to teach him a lesson. They were wandering because the Jamuna also flows, of course, through Delhi, through Hastinapur and Indraprastha. They were wandering one day on the bank of the Jamuna, and there was a dead body there. And there was a jackal. Jackals eat dead bodies. But he wasn't eating the body, he was just sniffing it, the head, the hands, the legs, the torso. And Arjuna, he said to Krishna, look at that foolish jackal. Why isn't he just eating the body? So Krishna, he spoke to the jackal. He said, why aren't you eating the body? And the jackal said, well, because Krishna could speak all languages. He said, I'm a jackal. I'm an animal. I don't have any knowledge, and I can't perform any pious activities. The only thing I can do is I can see if a person, if he is a Vaishnava, if he has performed any pious activities, I sniff with my nose, because dogs, jackals, they get their knowledge through their nose. If you ever come near a dog, the first thing they'll do is they'll smell you, because that's how they learn who you are. So the jackal said, before I eat anyone, I sniff his head, and I can tell then whether he's bowed down to the Supreme Lord. I sniff his hands to see if he's done any pious activities. I sniff his legs to see if he's gone to any of the places of pilgrimage. I sniff his torso to see if he's ever eaten prasadam. And only in the places where he's performed these devotional activities, those places I eat, because this is how I'll get my benefit, by associating with the Vaishnava by eating him. Arjuna was completely astounded. I think I'm a devotee? Listen to this jackal. So we have to understand what a real devotee is. It does not always mean, not all of us have the brain substance to memorize many slokas. I had to memorize those three slokas before giving class, because how many slokas do I, how many ounces are there? Not so many. It's not by our knowledge that we will enter Vrindavan, real Vrindavan. Now we're just floating. And even to get to this Vrindavan has become so difficult. The guards, the policemen, they're everywhere. No, you can't come in. It's becoming more and more difficult even to enter this Vrindavan. So if we really want to enter Vrindavan, we have to take that mood of the Brijbasis. Forget that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just love him. And, like Sudama, just try to help others learn about him, this pure love. And this is why Krishna sent Uddhava here, and this is why Krishna sent us here. So we can learn what pure love is by hearing about the pure Vaishnavas who served here in Vrindavan, the six Goswamis, their mood, the eternal residents of Vrindavan, and first and foremost, Srila Prabhupada, who is an eternal resident of Vrindavan. Although he traveled all over the world 14 times, although he had to uplift the most fallen of all of the residents on this planet, the meat eaters, the mlechas, the yavanas, the dog eaters, he carried Vrindavan in his heart wherever he went. So not all of us get to stay, none of us get to stay here forever in this lifetime. We all have to go out and preach. Everyone has to preach. That's our mission. We have to assist Srila Prabhupada in his mission to Srila Prabhupada. But we should learn while we're here this mood of the Brijbasis, take that pure love, keep Krishna and Vrindavan in our heart, take Vrindavan with us wherever we go, and try to make others fortunate by preaching the glories of Vrindavan to whoever we meet and giving them Prabhupada's books. Because really, Krishna book, if you read Krishna book, you have the entire 10th canto in its most pure form. There's nothing like the way Srila Prabhupada describes the Krishna Leela. We can read, he recommends us right in this chapter, I think it's this chapter, he recommends us, you should read Krishna Bhavanamrita, because this is the expansion of the Krishna Leela. Now, Krishna Bhavanamrita, it's embarrassing to read some of the pastimes. They're so intimate. How Radharani and Krishna become intoxicated by drinking honey. They can hardly speak properly. The pastimes are so intimate. But Prabhupada's telling us, read these books so you can, I'm giving you the summary of the 10th canto, because I might not be able to complete it in this lifetime. Read this 10th canto. Some disciples of Prabhupada, Barsana Swami, he memorized Krishna book. He can speak the entire Krishna book. But Prabhupada says, don't stop at the Krishna book. Read more, learn more. This is why the Goswamis have given these literatures. So go deeper. Keep this all in your heart. Take it with you wherever you go. And make everyone most fortunate. Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Krishna, pain to his dear ones.
Like Gopis of Vrindavan, Vipratham of Avantis, we would have done that in other ways. What could be the reason? Generally, devotees of somebody, not everybody, but generally.
It might appear to be pain externally, but actually the devotees are experiencing the topmost ecstasy in those feelings of separation. Krishna is also feeling intense separation and so-called pain, but it's not pain as we experience in the material world, because the so-called pain is actually ecstatic love. So we have to see, according to the way the acharyas explain this separation mood, it's not pain that Krishna is intentionally causing them pain. He is increasing their love by hiding from them. You see, even with the little child, you have any grandchildren? You played peekaboo ever? Peekaboo? You know, peekaboo. You hide. Oh, where? And then, ah, there you are. If you don't hide, then there's no excitement when you reappear. It's just part of the human nature. The two things go together. Separation and then enjoyment together.
Thank you. If no more questions, then I have one more question. You just said that Uddhava came to Vrindavan of Mathura from Manika.
Yes.
We believe that after finishing the Mathura Leela, that Krishna temple of the Dwarika, with the Dwarika.
Yes.
So from which Dwarika that Uddhava came to Mathura?
No, Dwarka was still there. That's why he chose to bring everyone to Dwarka. Dwarka was already there. So one night he just transported them all to Dwarka.
Thank you.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.